Well, I'll just go right on and continue describing these slides. The next few slides are pictures that I took just to experiment around with my telephoto lens. And this is number 9, I believe. Yeah, 9, that shows one of the dust-off helicopters, the air ambulances, landing with a patient right on our chopper pad. And you can see he's just coming in for a landing when I took this picture with my telephoto lens, actually from pretty far away, right near our hooch. This next picture, number 10, shows him landing already and shows two of the medical attendants carrying off a patient, which looks like a Vietnamese child that the helicopter had picked up out at a village or out in the field somewhere where the child had been injured. Most of these injuries are from booby traps or mines that go off and hit these kids and people. Then picture number 11 shows the helicopter just after it's lifted off and is about to fly away. You notice it has a red cross on the front and the side, and that means that it's an ambulance. And that's all they do, is just go out and pick up the injured people and bring them to the hospital. This next picture is a picture of a little four-seater helicopter called a LOCH, which means it's a observation helicopter. And they are very, very tiny and very, very fast, and they're just used as spotters. This next picture I took over at an area where they repair tanks. And this is sort of an interesting picture taken with my wide-angle lens, which shows them taking off the track on a tank to fix it. And just sort of gives a very interesting effect. This next picture is just a picture of what they call a armored personnel carrier, or an APC. And these are like tanks, except they don't have much protection or much armor. In the foreground, you can see those gigantic bullets, which are 50 caliber machine gun bullets that fit into a 50 caliber machine gun. You can see they'd make a pretty big hole if they went through you. Number 15 is another close-up picture of a tank, just to show what one looks like. And it shows the big gun in front and then the 50 caliber machine gun that's up on top. Now, the next three pictures are sort of interesting. I wanted to see what the difference between my three lenses would be. And these are all taken from the same place, from sitting in the same place of this tank. I'm sure you're not very much interested in the tank, but I was interested to see what the three lenses would do. This first one is taken with my wide-angle lens. And you can see I can get almost two full tanks in it. And I'm only sitting about 5 feet in front of this tank on the ground. The fellow standing over there is Paul Munson, you know, the fellow who's on the orthopedic service with me. To show you how close I am, the next slide, number 17, is taken with just the regular lens, the same kind of lens I have on my Minolta, and to show how much closer I am. But actually, I'm standing in the same place to take the picture. Then I put on my 135mm telephoto lens from the same place and took this picture of the machine gun and the turret that the driver sits in when he drives the tank. I put on, I have a thing called a tele-extender, which makes the telephoto lens twice as powerful. When I put that thing on, I couldn't even find anything to take any pictures of because it magnified everything so much. This next picture is, again, not very interesting, but I took it just to play with my lens. I took this from about 15 or 20 feet away using that telephoto lens with a thing that multiplied it by 2. And this is of a 30 caliber machine gun. But I couldn't find anything to take a picture of, and I wanted to use up the last two pictures in the roll. And it's just amazing how clear this is for being, and how close it looks. And I was really 20 feet away. This next picture is another picture of me taken by Paul Munson. And excuse me for looking unshaven, but I didn't realize that I hadn't shaved. But and it's also the last picture in the reel, so in the roll, so you see a little black edge there. But again, this is taken from about 15 or 20 feet away and shows you what fantastic close-ups I can get with this new lens that I have. Well, I hope you enjoyed the slides. I hope you didn't mind my voice. Seems like I'm maybe getting a sore throat. If I guess it sort of hurts and I can't talk very loud. If I do get sick, it'll be the first time since I've been here that I've been sick. I got my cholera and my plague booster shots today. And I guess, Ruth, you have all your shots. Be sure that they're properly recorded. And one of those, I think it's one of those, a little yellow pamphlet that you need to get into the country. Did you get your passport, and did you check on a visa? I've had conflicting reports. I know you do need a visa to go to Japan, which you can get from the Japanese consulate in Los Angeles, but I'm not sure about Hong Kong. I'm sure Eileen Gittleman knows all that information, so just check with her. I was so glad to find out that Jeffrey's not going to have any operation. I was sure, as I said in my letter, I think I wrote it yesterday, that Alan is very, very conservative, and I didn't think that he would do that operation. But I really think you ought to take him to Alan frequently and make sure that he checks his hearing and that he's not developing any hearing loss. And we'll just see what happens. Let me know what he says, of course, because I'm very, very interested. I completely forgot about the money you made in 1968, you know, working at the nursery school when I made out the income tax forms. I'm sure it's such a tremendous amount that it'll really up our income tax rates. But I'm glad you sent it to Jerry, because as I said, in one of the letters, I sent in all the information. I think I sent in the right amount for the Beagans. Remember, we refunded them. They paid for the month of August, and then we refunded them $110. So they paid us $280 minus $110 for that month, and I think I added it up correctly, but he has that information anyway. He'll check it against yours, and if there's any discrepancy, I'm sure he'll call you. It looks like you're really losing weight, and I'm glad you're doing it, because when we get to Hong Kong, the one thing I'm going to do every single day is just eat, eat, and eat. The food here has been so lousy lately, it's just hard to believe. Even, you know, we used to have fairly good lunches, and the lunch is the only meal I eat down there, and of course, I used to eat breakfast, but recently they've been out of fresh eggs, so they've had nothing but powdered eggs, and the lunches have just been absolutely atrocious. They're just terrible. The cook here says it isn't his fault, because would you believe that every meal that we eat, the entire menu, is dictated from USARPAC, which is the command, you know, where General Abrams is. His office, you know, somebody in his office somewhere is who decides what we are to eat every day, and everybody in Vietnam apparently is supposed to eat the same thing on the same day. Well, the menus and the food is just absolutely ridiculously bad, and I am keeping my weight up primarily from eating the salami and the tuna. And cakes and stuff like that. But it's just unbelievable that the quality of the food is so bad. But you know, when I went to Japan, the greatest part of that whole trip was just being able to go to a restaurant and eat a wonderful meal, and I really ate up a storm. So be prepared and lose all the weight you can, because I know that you're going to be unable to resist all this great food that we're going to be eating. They tell me that one of the greatest things to do is to go on this cruise in Hong Kong Harbor that takes you to one of these floating Chinese restaurants. And they apparently serve you something like a 7-course meal when you get there. And it's just supposed to be absolutely fantastic. So shrink down that stomach, would you? I told you yesterday in the letter that I got that box of candy. It's amazing. I got the candy before I got your letter. It's funny how some things in the mail go quicker than others. You asked about what condition the candy was in. Well, it was just an absolutely fantastic condition. I was just amazed, because it wasn't melted, and it was it wasn't even sort of turn. You know, all chocolates will turn that sort of light brown color, and this was just looked perfectly normal. And that candy was just absolutely delicious. Of course, don't send me any more, because I really don't need any candy. But while I was here, it's really good. And of course, I've been passing it around to get rid of it, because if it just sits there, I'll eat about 15 pieces a day. I guess by now, Shirley's home. I really should write her a letter. Maybe I'll write tonight or tomorrow. She sent me two or three postcards. I haven't heard from her in a couple of weeks. But I bet they really had a fantastic time. You know what it is. It's not so much the skiing. It's just getting out and seeing a different part of the world. And that's why I'm so glad you decided to come to Hong Kong. Because, you know, we've been to Hawaii. I'm really not that excited about seeing Hawaii. I'm excited about seeing you and seeing the kids. And that's the tremendous reason for wanting to go to Hawaii. But the thought of just seeing another country and Hong Kong, and it just sounds so exciting and so beautiful that I just know you're going to have really the time of your life once you get there. I guess I told you, Ruth, and I told Gary that I mailed him a present. I ordered it through Paysex, but it has to come all the way through, I think it comes from Kansas City this time. It's not Paysex. I ordered it through another catalog that we have for ordering stuff from PX's at home. So I'm not sure whether it'll be there in time for his birthday, but it'll be there probably within a couple of weeks afterwards, and I hope he likes it. Jeffrey, I want to know what Jeffrey wants for his birthday, so make sure he writes me a letter and tells me what he wants, so we'll know what to buy when we get to Hong Kong. Well, you'd be happy to know that right now Tet is over, and so far nothing has happened. I really didn't think it would, because it'd be silly for the VC or the North Vietnamese to try anything right now, because we're so well prepared at the present time. And actually, I think that the conditions have changed so much since a year ago when they had the two great offenses that I just can't see of it happening now. They have so many more of these helicopters flying around and they're loaded with guns, and we're just so much better protected. And I think that we have many more men than we had before, and that they're more strategically located. That I doubt whether there's going to be any major offensive this year. For the past 3 days, there's been hardly any cases come in through the emergency room. It's just been absolutely quiet here. I think the reason for it is, of course, is the truce, both our truce and the truce that they call. There, we had a few casualties. Most of them were standing on booby traps, you know, from walking along a road and a mine that had been planted exploding or something like that. But actually, otherwise, it's been very quiet. I've lately had problems with terrible insomnia. Last night I went to bed about 12 or 30, I guess it was, and fell asleep about 2. And the night before I went to bed at 12:30 and fell asleep about 3 a.m. Luckily, I've been able to sleep late, but I don't know what it is. I'm thinking about the Hong Kong trip, and I'm getting all excited about it, and I'm thinking about, you know, what I'm going to buy and how I'm going to get there and when we're going to leave, and all these things keep going over and over in my mind, and I really have trouble getting to sleep. I think tonight I'll probably even take a sleeping pill, although I am second call, and I hate to take a pill and get called and not be able to, you know, operate at full function. One of the orthopedists, Tom Hobrock, a fellow who had a year of general surgery, went to Tokyo this morning with a burn. So he's gone, and we're down to 3 guys. It looks like we're sending so many people recently that I may even get another chance to go before I'm through here, although I'm not even sure whether I want to go. I had a good time looking back on it, but it's not like being with you or being with the kids or just being with somebody, so you have some companionship. I was all by myself. I ate dinner by myself and went out and had a drink, you know, at the top of this new Otani hotel all by myself. And it's very depressing just sitting there alone and nobody to talk to. And I wound up going to bed early and sleeping late every night. So I don't know. Maybe by then I'll change my mind. I'm sure I'll think of something I want to buy, so I'll just have to go. But anyway, we'll see what happens as far as that's concerned. Oh, you asked me about John McClain. John has, I think, about 6 months to go, and he went to Fort Devens, where Ron Waters is. And it seems like everybody in the last 2 months, well, last month, who has left here has got from about a two-week drop and has gone home 2 weeks early. I don't know if this will last for when I leave here, because back in November and December, the guys were getting one-day drops. What they mean by a drop is that your DROS, your date, I don't know which date it is, but anyway, that's the date that you're supposed to leave Vietnam. I'm supposed to leave on the 30th of August. Well, they're supposed to get you out by the 30th of August, but if they can get you on an earlier flight, they'll give you a port call. That means the date that you're supposed to report to take an airplane back to the States. And usually it'll be a day or two before your DROS date, so they can get you out of here by your DROS date. But as I said, for the past month at least, the guys have been getting port calls 2 weeks early. And some people have said it's because that we're overstaffed in the medical corps here, and they're just trying to weed a few people out a little earlier. And whether the same situation will apply in August when it's my turn to leave, I don't know. But God, I sure hope so. It'd be fantastic to, you know, all of a sudden with let's say 4 weeks to go, find out you only have 2 weeks to go. It just would be the most fantastic present you could possibly imagine. But, of course, I just won't know until about 4 weeks before I leave. And that's when I'll find out whether I'll be able to come home early. I guess I told you that a lot of the guys who came in as majors have made lieutenant colonel over the past couple of weeks. And probably within a month, I'll make major. A big difference, of course, will be in the salary, and that's the only thing that's really important. Well, honey, the end of the tape is coming up, and I'll say goodbye, and I love you, and I again apologize for my response to your letter, but please understand that I was very upset, and it took me about 2 days to get over it. I love you. Goodbye.